top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
I'm getting on with it here because,
Number five.
All right, here's Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders trying to answer these questions about the president and whether or not he has the absolute right to pardon himself.
Why does he think that, and does he also agree with Rudy Giuliani, his lawyer, that a pardon for himself would be unthinkable and would lead to immediate impeachment?
Thankfully, the president hasn't done anything wrong and wouldn't have any need for a pardon.
But does he absolutely rule out doing that? I mean, does he rule out ever issuing a pardon for himself?
Once again, thankfully, the president hasn't done anything wrong and therefore wouldn't need one.
Okay.
That was repeated, I think I counted 16 times during the presser today.
And of course, you know, she's the one who said the president didn't dictate that letter on the airplane, and there were no contacts with the Russians. Or whatever. I mean, the story changes every day there. How are we to assess?
There was some tap dancing today for sure.
And with the many shocking, previously unfathomable questions being posed in the last 18 months, Peter Alexander from NBC asked one which may, in the history of a White House press room, may be one of the top 10 most stunning.
Does the president believe that he is above the law?
Certainly not. The president hasn't done anything wrong.
The question isn't if he's done anything wrong. I guess the question is, does the president believe the framers envisioned a system where the president couldn't pardon himself, or the president could be above the law?
Certainly the Constitution very clearly lays out the law. And once again, the president hasn't done anything wrong, and we feel very comfortable on that front.
I know, but you just a moment ago said it's not that clear. So I guess simply put, does the president believe he is above the law?
Certainly no one is above the law. Okay.
Oh, thank God. Why did it take three times on that before she landed on the nobody's above the law? That would have been the good first answer. Nobody's above the law.
Yeah, it's the right answer.
I just need to know. It'll just make me feel so much better. I forgot to call my mother today to ask her this. Well, I talked to her, but I didn't talk to her about this. I should have asked her because she's a gigantic Trump person, as I think all of our mothers are. I think it's just something about our mothers. I don't know, and dads and stuff like that. People over a certain age, they just connect with the guy. But is this okay? Is this really okay?
Well, if he's done nothing wrong, that part of it.
That's not the point. Is it okay to say that he has the absolute power to pardon himself? You don't have to say that.
No, you don't.
Right? You don't. No one asked him to say that. I mean, Rudy Giuliani kind of started this whole thing yesterday on the Sunday morning talk shows. But does the president have to go out there and volunteer?
He doesn't, but it's a sign that he could take extreme action to shield either himself in this Russia inquiry or send a direct signal to Mueller, who's in charge, and that there's overreach in his belief of the Mueller investigation.
So let's say he just decided to pardon himself. Is that okay? If he starts pardoning all the people who get in trouble, and let's say Manafort gets convicted and he just pardons him. Or Cohen gets convicted. And these are things Cohen stuff's not related to Russia, as far as we can tell.
Right.
Or, you know, Gates or any of the other people who have been indicted here. The first guy, by the way, to get sentenced is already out. I think he did 45 days. Right? So he's already out. So he's good to go. You could pardon, I guess the president could pardon him, you know, kind of like this, so he can go out and get a driver's license or whatever the hell it is you have to be able to get. But is it okay? Is that okay? Why is it okay? And the argument is, well, you know, Barack Obama was worse. How is Barack Obama worse in this respect? I mean, this is he considered himself to be an imperial president, and he just did whatever he wanted to do, and he had all these executive orders. Well, the president does executive orders. Donald Trump does those. I've never heard, even Bill Clinton in the depths of the stupidity, we're getting to him in just a second,
right.
But in the depths of his own self-inflicted stupidity, never mentioned pardoning himself. Pardon me.
But they did address the power to subpoena or indict a sitting president.
Yeah, he fought that. That's fine.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know, it's fine, but
no,
right.
They can fight it, but they lost it. Because he did get subpoenaed. He did show up. Remember, that's how they got him in the perjury trap. That's how they got Clinton with the Monica Lewinsky thing, by throwing that at the end. Oh, but they did the whole Columbo thing. Oh, by the way, hey, that intern.
Another thing.
Yeah,
before you leave.
Yeah, there was this intern, right? With it. Uh-oh. Can you imagine in his own head? Holy crap.
About Monica Lewinsky. Who?
Well, how did they know about her? Oh, man, what do I say? Oh, go ahead, lie. Go ahead, lie to him. That's a good idea. Lie to him. Wait, maybe I shouldn't. Is it perjury? I'm a lawyer. I should know that. God, I hope Donald Trump doesn't ever become president. I hope Hillary doesn't become president either.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew?
All right. Checking in. All right. So that's my thought on Donald Trump. And now here's the thought on
number four,
Bill Clinton. He was on the Today Show today to promote his new book, which is he wrote with James Patterson, who I thought was dead. Or I thought like James Patterson was like a faked up, like there's like 100 guys named James Patterson.
Well, he writes so many books. It's like, how can he possibly be just one him? But I think he has the uses ghostwriters and helps people with that.
That's why I thought James Patterson's like a brand. Mm-hmm. He's not like a
kind
real human being,
mm-hmm.
right? But he was there. It was James Patterson and the president. And they're sitting there. And the NBC News. And then they decided, well, you know, let's ask a little question. There's a whole Me Too movement. You might be familiar with this, Bill. I'm not. Do you think you owe Monica Lewinsky an apology?
If you were president now, in 2018, with everything that's going on with the Me Too movement, how would you have approached the accusations differently?
Well, I don't think it would be an issue because people would be using the facts instead of the imagined facts. If the facts were the same today, I wouldn't. You're asking, well, don't we have a right to change the rules? Yes, but you don't have a right to change the facts.
I'm sorry.
I don't think anybody's changing
the sorry.
Facts.
I'm sorry. What?
That's very Trumpian.
Well,
you got it all mixed up.
It's not even Trumpian as much as it is just, it's a word salad.
Yes.
He's doing the word salad.
Yes. It's like, what did we say there?
Yeah.
I'm sort of lost and there was no meaning to that. I thought the part, I'm not sure we're going to get to this, where you talk to the poor me part is my favorite part, when he shifted the blame to why we should feel sorry for him in the whole situation because he emerged $16 million in debt out of legal fees for things that he did. And that
We have this right here.
Okay.
But you didn't apologize to her.
I have not talked to her.
Do you feel like you owe her an apology?
No, I do. I do not. I have never talked to her. But I did say publicly on more than one occasion that I was sorry. That's very different. The apology was public.
And you don't think a private apology is owed?
I think this thing has been, it's 20 years ago. Come on. Let's talk about JFK. Let's talk about, you know, LBJ. Stop already.
Let's talk about anything, like the book.
It's James Patterson.
Let's talk about the book, please.
I didn't even know you were alive, sir. I don't know why you're in this interview. We're not really interested in what you have to say. We don't care what James Patterson thinks. Just solve the freaking mystery. You might as well be Castle, as far as I'm concerned.
The book is called The President is Missing. I still find so much irony in that. You wonder if Bill Clinton had been missing from that interview, if it would have been gone better, because it certainly ventured far off the topic of the book.
I just really hope they don't ask me any questions about Monica. Just keep asking me about the book. Keep asking me about the book.
Looking back on what happened then, through the lens of Me Too now, do you think differently or feel more responsibility?
No, I felt terrible then, and I came to grips with it.
Did you ever apologize to her?
Yes, and nobody believes that I got out of that for free. I left the White House $16 million in debt, but you typically have ignored gaping facts in describing this, and I bet you don't even know them.
What are the gaping facts? I mean,
I'm going to use the word gaping here. In his own brain, he's got to decide, am I going to say gaping? Because, you know, there's a lot of...
He's not compartmentalizing quite as well as you hope.
There's innuendo here.
It's like a frat buddy. Hey, dude, I dare you to say gaping in the interview.
All right, I'm going to say gaping, and maybe they'll just start focusing on that, not focus on anything.
Yeah,
gaping.
He started to focus on how many women he hired in Arkansas and how he had a great sexual harassment policy in place when he was governor in the 80s. And
two
female chiefs of staff and anything but...
I know, yes. That's my favorite.
You think President Kennedy should have resigned? Do you believe President Johnson should have resigned? Someone should ask you these questions because of the way you formulate the questions. I dealt with it 20 years ago plus, and the American people, two-thirds of them, stayed with me. And I've tried to do a good job since then with my life and with my work. That's all I have to say to you.
Okay, go away. That's what I have to say to you. Go away for the next 2.5 years, sir. Stay out of the limelight, out of the country, out of the conversation, because you're just throwing more energy into those who wish to say, yeah, but what about, yeah, but what about, yeah, but what about, and use you as the example. And this is, and we're at it. We are at a true constitutional crisis here in America, or approaching one. I don't think it's. I think on the day that the sitting president of the United States says that he has absolute power to pardon himself, I think I'm not overstating the facts. And then for you to be out there selling this silly book with James Patterson, he's a beach author, right? That's not. This is
sells a lot of books, but yes it doesn't seem
fine.
As if
this is not the right thing.
This pairing. It's a little strange.
I really wanted to work with Judith Kranz, but I think she's dead. How about that Bloom woman? Wrote all the coming out girls ones. What are those called?
Judy Bloom.
Oh,
how
yeah.
How about Gillian Flynn, a local Chicago writer who wrote Gone Girl? Gone Girl.
I'd like to be in 50 Shades of Grey hair.
Be a good like candidate that? For that.
50 Shades in the Oval Office. How about that?
Maybe more his
Does it, thing. Stay out of his head. I want to stay out of his head now. I got to stay out of his head. Because he's driving me out of my mind right now. Last thing we need is him out there selling a stinking book while the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And partially it's his fault. And people are comparing him to what's going on now. Come on now. Come on. Go away. All right.
Okay.
Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says, pardon?
Did someone say pardon? Violetta.
Then there's this. Philly's the surprise of the league. Time for the Cubs to show them who's boss. Tuesday nights, baseball, WGN-TV, Cubs, Phillies, Tuesday at 7.
Who does number 2 work for? All right. Cubs are on a roll, though.
Yeah.
8 out of 10, right?
Yep. Fresh sweep off the Mets.
That's a big deal. Oh, the Mets. Hapless organization. All right. Let us... do you mind if we move on to number...
Let's do it.
Number 3.
Sarah Gilbert from the Roseanne Show opened up about the cancellation. Mm. You know what happened here.
The Roseanne?
Yeah, you know what she did and the whole deal, the Valerie Jarrett and the whole mess here.
Comparison.
Yes. Here's what Sarah Gilbert said.
A lot of people have been hurt by this. I will say I'm proud of the show we made. The show has always been about diversity, love, and inclusion. And it's sad to see it end in this way. I'm sad for the people who lost their jobs in the process. However, I do stand behind the decision that ABC made.
Oh, she said that on ABC, by the way, The View.
She said she does stand behind the cancellation. Huh.
Yeah.
And she's made up with Roseanne on Twitter after launching into her and Roseanne saying, what? What are you after? I made you. I created a show about inclusivity. You guys were part of it. You profited off it. And now you're all, other cast members are going out, you know, throwing me under the bus.
Why are you so crazy, Roseanne? Why are you so crazy? That's the question I think that needs to be answered. Did she not see the, is it not? Are you, is it really? I can't even get the question out. That's,
what do you ask? I know.
I mean, it's like, how
it's a great
dumb...
show. It's going amazingly well.
Yeah.
Its ratings are awesome. America's embracing you again.
And it's a very fun, smart show.
Yes.
It really was very
great
well
writers,
done.
Great
it's
actors.
Her medication.
No, don't use Ambien. I mean, if you stick your head through a cockpit door on an international flight, fine. Use Ambien as your excuse so you don't end up, you know, locked up abroad. But this, I'm sorry. There is no explanation. What about the 500 other tweets that are crazy crap that you write? What about that? Is that the Ambien too? Or are you just a moron? If you want to be in the public eye, be in the public eye. Be smart about it. Dummy. Ruined ruined all those people's careers.
Yeah.
All
it's
right.
Unfortunate.
Checking in at
number two.
Okay, the kid that wouldn't move out of his parents' house, the 35-year-old.
Yes.
Not a kid, he's 35.
Wasn't he like 35? Okay. Thought he was like 30. But all right.
Whatever. What was he? 30? 30? He was 30. He was 30. All
okay.
right.
Still.
He should know better. Self-proclaimed conservative. And he's a guy that just... He wanted to talk to Fox News about this because they would understand him. So he sat down with Jesse Waters, and even that didn't go well.
Were you making any money at these jobs and saving it? Or were you just... spending it on what?
I really wasn't saving very much, I spent it on things that I needed.
Like what?
Like food, conventional things, entertainment, food, gasoline.
What kind of entertainment?
Bars. You go to a bar, that's entertainment, I would say.
Were you fired from a lot of these jobs, or did you quit?
I'm not discussing my work history at this time. I'm sorry.
That's one thing he won't touch.
Go to my LinkedIn.
Oh, jeez.
He did make it to second assistant day manager, though, at the local taqueria.
Yeah.
For one day.
He had a few jobs he couldn't keep.
So is he out now?
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Loaded up his station wagon and took off with his belongings. He has a little station wagon. And
right. It doesn't that.
Yeah. I don't think it's his.
Yeah, it might not be. Because wasn't Dad complaining that he had a broken down car that won't get fixed?
Just take the car and leave.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the way to go. If you have to go to court and go through all of this, it's time to just give him the car and move along. All right, that's it. You can live in the car. I mean, who hasn't thought, if I had to live in my car, I'll live in my car? I mean, who hasn't had that thought? If things really went down. That's why I love the Traverse.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could live in that car.
Well, that's like a luxury apartment. I mean, that's most people be upgrading for when they moved in there.
San Francisco, that would be $10,000 a month.
I should get a radio Emmy or whatever, a Remy for that, for best transition ever to a sponsor. All right, and finally,
number one.
Changes in the air here at 720 WGN as we are moving studios. We're moving out of the Tribune Tower, which we have inhabited twice in our lifespan.
Mm-hmm. We had a good run here.
We did.
Yeah.
Starting in the 1920s, and then we moved out in the 60s over to Bradley Place, and then back here in the 1980s until present day. And now we're moving across the river to the furthest east building in the Illinois Center Complex. And I would just like to say that it was I was very proud and happy to see our boss, Todd Manley, being interviewed by the Chicago Tribune today about this exact issue and what being on the street side here and what our role has been as the street side studio, the All State Showcase Studio here at the corner of Michigan Avenue and Heaven has meant to us.
Michigan Avenue has become such a global tourist destination, you know, and certainly regionally. You know, people who listen to our booming signal over 38 states and Canada, I mean, love that idea of walking by and seeing the names and the faces, the people that they know. What we trade it in for is I think, the perspective the hosts get. I mean, up here, you feel like you've been dropped in the middle of the city. You know, you know you're on Michigan Avenue when you sit in the fishbowl there, but you don't always get a sense of weather patterns. You can look out over the lake and kind of see, you get a sense of how different it may be for the near west suburbs on some cloud formation to what it might be on the North Shore. So I think that's what we traded in for is.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Eye in the sky. That's true. I spent a lot of time over there last week, and it is. We will be able to see a lot of things happening.
You'll start freaking out before it even gets close. You can see it coming.
That's true. It is good
news. It's coming, guys.
It's at least 7 hours away, but don't worry. This storm is upon us.
Well, we will miss the Tribune Tower. I know the Tribune has also written some stories because they're moving out with us at the end of this week. Mm-hmm. And it really is. This is a very, very special building, not just in the United States, but in America.
No question.
And it's going to have an interesting repurpose and a lifespan forever. And people, very rich people, are going to be living in here, paying a lot of money for the apartments to live in the Tribune Tower.
Maybe let us in just to our old digs at some point.
That's okay.
Knock on the door.
That's all right.
But a special place for sure.
The top five at five.